If you don't know me, I am Carter. I am the one that hangs out with the kids in the gym. So as you can see, I have a treasure box here. Now imagine you had your own treasure box, and in that box was all of your favorite stuff. All of the things that you thought were most valuable to you. Kind of like your prized possessions. Now, in that box, maybe, kids, maybe you have your favorite toy in that box. Maybe you have your favorite snack. Mine's Goldfish. Maybe it's an iPad or any technology. Maybe it's your favorite book. Not me, I'm not a reader. Maybe if you are me, it's one of your favorite pairs of shoes. Thank you, thank you. Or maybe it's just straight up money. What do you have in your treasure box that you would say was your favorite things, the things that you valued the most? Now, what if someone went up to you and said, hey, that treasure box that you have, your favorite things, your most valuable possessions that you have, you actually have to give that away. You have to give that to a complete stranger. You have to dedicate something in that to a stranger. You would probably think, nope, not gonna do that. I know I probably wouldn't dedicate my favorite things to a stranger. But what if someone said, hey, you have to dedicate your favorite things to God? Could you be able to, with a whole heart, wholeheartedly say, whatever I have, God, it is yours? Would you be able to say, hey, God, what I have, it is yours? We're going to actually look at a passage in Genesis. So, kids, I need you to yell as loud as you can, Genesis. Boys and girls, that was pitiful. I know that you can be louder. Genesis. That's much better. So in Genesis chapter 13, 14 to 18, it says this. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram went to live near the great trees at Hebron, where he pitched his tent, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So as we look at this passage, we see Abraham is in his journey of his faith, and it's following a time of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of questioning. And God is once again reaffirming his promise to him, promising him descendants as many as the dust that we just read. You see, a few verses before this, this guy named Lot, he went, picked his land, he picked the best land that he could, and he just kind of went about his life. But Abraham, he did something different. He did something special. When he got his land, he did something different. He built an altar, a place to worship God, right there on his new land. And he dedicated that land to God. And he said, God, this land, it is yours. And he said, whatever it is yours. And he was trusting in God's promise. Now, the altar symbolizes his commitment to God through his commitment of his dedication of the land. By building the altar, it signifies his willingness to offer his whole self and everything that he has to God. His dreams, his ambitions, his future, the stuff that he currently has. He said, God, it is yours. He was dedicating it to him. Abraham's act of dedication, it challenges us to examine our own lives. Have we built altars of dedication in our own lives? Have you recently said, God, everything I have, it is yours? Have you said, whatever I have, it is yours? Have we laid aside our own agendas, our own ambitions, our own wants, and our own possessions for God? You see, the altar serves as a real reminder of God's faithfulness. Just as God fulfilled his promises for Abraham, he's going to do the same thing for you and I. And as we encounter challenges and uncertainties, we can look back to the altars of dedication, and we can look at that as a symbol of hope, a testimony of God's enduring faithfulness and provision. So, what does it mean for you and I to have an altar of dedication in our lives? Firstly, it requires a heart of surrender. With your whole heart, are you willing to surrender what you have and say, God, it is yours? You see, he remains faithful to us, but we have to be willing to say, God, whatever I have is yours. We have to be willing to surrender all of our treasures and put it aside. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we're called to sacrifice and dedicate whatever we have to God. We have to let go of that control over our things for him. Maybe you aren't like Abraham, and maybe you have a bunch of land that you can give to God and dedicate to him. Maybe you're like me and you don't have any land to give away. But okay, there are other things that we can let go of the control over and dedicate it to God and let go and say, God, it is yours. So what are you willing to let go of and say, God, it is yours? Maybe it's not something physical. Maybe it's not a house or a car or whatever. But maybe it's your time. Maybe you need to dedicate your time to God. Maybe it's your thoughts. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your friendships. Whatever you have that is that you're holding on to so tight, you need to let go and dedicate that to God. I know for me, when I graduated college, I was a broke college student. I was really holding on to my finances, and at one point my mom was like, no, you need to start tithing, you need to start doing this and this and this. And I had to let go of my finances and dedicate it to God. And being honest, I probably can let go of my finances even more and dedicate it all to God. So what do you have in your treasure box that you are holding on to that you can dedicate to God? What are you holding on to that you think is holding you back? Building altars of dedication, it takes a commitment of obedience. We're called to work in obedience with God. And sometimes it's a little hard. Sometimes it's harder than we say it is. It's hard to give up that control over the things that we want because we think, hey, this is my stuff. I have a good plan for this. I can do something great with my stuff. I can do something great with everything I have. But here's the thing, God can do something even greater with the things that we have. So we need to dedicate our things that we have to him. So let's build altars of dedication in our lives. May we dedicate what we have to God. To have a strong family, you gotta dedicate your family to him. Without dedication, you will see the things that you built begin to decay. But with dedication, you will see God move in the things that you have dedicated. So what do you have in your treasure box that you want to build for the kingdom of God? What do you have in your treasure box that you are willing to say, God, whatever I have is yours? So let's live our life in an altar of dedication. God, whatever I have is yours.
Whatever I have is yours. And I'm going to talk about wherever I go is yours. But before I do, I'm sure every single person in this place has moments in the middle of service where you just squirrel. You just, you know, we're talking about one thing, but your mind goes somewhere else. Anybody? Anybody have one of these moments? Pastor Nick is baptizing people, and because of the angle of the camera, I just keep thinking he's going to hit someone's head against the wall. Anybody there? And I'm thinking to myself, what a brilliant thing to do. They make a commitment to Jesus. We get them in the baptism tank. We kill them so they will never backslide. This is a fantastic plan. But thank you, Pastor Nick. Or this is a squirrel. Even better, we heal them. We knock them out, and then Pastor Nick was going to heal them. It would have been a powerful service. That's where my mind went during baptisms. I'm sorry, little squirrel moment. Back on track. Whatever I have is yours. Wherever I go is yours. I don't know about you, but there have been many moments each year where I've traveled to Montreal. How many of you are frequent travelers to Montreal? All right, there's about five of us. Montreal's a great city, fantastic, all kinds of culture. But one of the things I notice about Montreal is that it is religious about the Montreal Canadiens. Are there any Habs fans in the place? I pray for you constantly. Habs fans, you drive into Montreal, you see everybody wearing Habs paraphernalia. If you wear anything else, you might as well not get onto the island. It is a religion. I mean, churches are celebrating the Habs. I mean, there's not much to celebrate this year, but they're all celebrating the Habs, and it is a religion. And you've got to be very careful if you're not a Habs fan. I happen to be a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and I know there's a few of us in the building. Leafs fan, which was a great game last night, 9-2. But anyways, that's another story. Leafs fan, and so one of the things that I try to do is from time to time, I try to promote my team. And my last vehicle, I had a Toronto Maple Leaf sticker on the back window. Problem is that was fine driving around Ontario, and especially in Ottawa, because if you're a Leaf fan and you show up at a Sens game, you feel like you're on home ice. But when you drive to Montreal, it's a whole different ball game. And I could feel the persecution of eyes as I was driving onto the island this one time. I drove onto the island, I could see French drivers. And French drivers, if you're a French driver, I do apologize for what I'm about to say. I'm not being politically correct, but you are crazy. You're just crazy. And I get onto the island and I can see the eyes staring at me. And it's more than the crazy eyes that I normally get. They see the sticker. And I'm sure I'm going to get run off the road. And so I just like, Jesus, just be with me, 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 be with me. And so I finally get to the place where I need to park to go to my meeting. My meeting was not too far from the Bell Center. And so picture this. A guy with a Leaf sticker on the back of his car parks in the Bell Center parking lot. I know, completely stupid. And so I pull in. And I park my car. And as I'm walking away, I can see the Leaf sticker on the back of my car. And I got to tell you that I began to intercede. I began to wonder whether or not my car was still going to be there when I got back from my meetings. I was convinced that all of Montreal would gather and they would offer a sacrifice known as my tribute to Jesus Christ or to their God, the Habs. I felt like that was going to happen. And so I went to my meeting praying, came back. Sure enough, my car was fine. I was overzealous about what could have happened. Everything was fine. Now, the question I've been thinking to myself is, if I knew that I was going to be in a situation like this, why even put the sticker on the car? Why do that? Like, you know you're going to go into a situation, why put the sticker? And here's my answer, is that as a fan, I feel like it's my responsibility to try to promote my team wherever I go. I feel like if you're going to commit to something, you promote it wherever you go, even into the enemy's territory. If you were to go outside right now and go to my Jeep Compass, you wouldn't see a Leaf sticker, but you'd see a Manchester United sticker, because I feel like it's my responsibility as a fan to promote my team wherever it goes. And this is the attitude of Abraham in the passage that Pastor Carter read. He feels it's his responsibility to promote God wherever he goes. I want to look at this passage very quickly. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14, 18 says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west, and the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go. walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham went to live near the great tree of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tent, and there he built an altar to the Lord. The Bible tells us that Abraham builds the altar to God as a dedication to God. And Pastor Carter talked about how that the altar was an altar of dedication of whatever he had, all the land that God had given him. He was saying, God, I dedicate whatever I have back to you. But there's another element of this story that is so vital that we can't miss today. You see, where the altar was built was the place of Hebron. And it was a strategic place that not only could Abraham stand by the altar and look out over the entire land and see all that God was giving him, it was also a junction point in transportation. Because in the south was Beersheba, and the road led to Hebron. And in the north was Jerusalem, and the road led to Hebron. This was a junction point of travel where a person would go through this place to the various places of Canaan. And what Abraham did in this moment was not only did he say, God, I'm dedicating whatever I have to you, he was declaring by the very position of the altar that wherever he went, it belonged to God. Wherever he went, at the junction point in his life, he built an altar saying, God, the south, the north, it, wherever I go, I'm dedicating it to you. Now you may be thinking to yourself, like, what does that mean, wherever I go? What does it mean to dedicate your past to God? Does that mean that you know, I've got to, like, carry Jesus around? And it's like, okay, Jesus, everywhere I'm going, I'm just going to walk with you. You and me, Jesus, you know, teenagers show up at high school like this. I'm just, wherever Jesus is, I'm going to be. It's going to take him everywhere. It's going to take Jesus everywhere I go, whether it's to the south, to Beersheba, or to the north, to Jerusalem. Everywhere I go, just bring in Jesus. You know, that's obviously absolute foolishness. But what does it mean? It means simply two things. Number one is to make a claim. Claims on a location means that someone has a right to it. Someone has a right to it. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, and there was just one adult driving, and it was my sister and I would, as we made our way to the car, I would try to distract my sister, and then I would yell, shotgun! Anybody ever do that? Right. Shotgun, in case you're not familiar with the rules of shotgun. When you say shotgun, you are claiming the right to the passenger seat up front. I don't care if my sister's sick. I don't care if she's dying or we're taking her to the hospital. If I call shotgun, I have made a claim that spot belongs to me. She can cry. She can beg. She can tell me about her broken body. Whatever. I've claimed the spot. And so I get a certain geographical spot because I've claimed it. You see, in ancient Near East, there was this idea that when the king gave land to a faithful servant, there was an understanding that that land belonged to God, to the king. And when God gives Abraham this land of Canaan, he's expecting that that same culture of the ancient Near East will be followed through. That what God has given him, he will claim back for God. He will call shotgun wherever I call shotgun for God. I call shotgun for God. I call shotgun for God. Wherever he goes, whether it's to the south of Beersheba, the north of Jerusalem, wherever he goes, he's calling shotgun, making a claim that this land belongs to God. That God has a right to this land wherever he goes. Listen to me. Wherever you go, we need to make a claim for Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, we need to make a claim for Jesus Christ. That we need to say, I believe that this land belongs to Jesus. That I claim my workplace for Jesus Christ. That when I'm walking into the school, and when you're walking into the school, you're saying, I claim the school for Jesus Christ. That when you go through your neighborhood, that you're saying, I claim this for Jesus Christ. Now listen to me for a second. Don't do this out loud. People will think you're weird. Well, I just claim this land for Jesus Christ. This is the land that belongs to my school. This locker is Jesus' locker. Amen and amen. People will think you're weird. You'll be claiming nothing for Jesus. You'll be claiming everything in the principal's office. What you're doing is you're walking through the places that God's placed you, the land that He's given to you, and you're saying, I'm going to do everything I can to make a claim for Jesus in this place. I'm doing everything I can to make a claim for Jesus in this place. Listen to me, friends. The neighborhoods you live in, those aren't accidents. God didn't accidentally place you in a neighborhood. The places where you work, that isn't an accident. God didn't accidentally place you in that workplace. The places you shop is not accidental. God has placed you in geographical locations so that you can make a claim for Him in those places. That you can build an altar of dedication saying, God, wherever I go, I'm making a claim for you. My school shall know Jesus. My workplace shall know Jesus. My neighborhood shall know Jesus. The people who live beside me, to the left and right, behind me, in front of me, they shall know Jesus. I'm claiming the rights, but that this place where I am, it belongs to Jesus. A dedication of wherever I go, we make a claim. Secondly, we make Him known. We make Him known. Wherever Abraham would go, he will carry the desires and the values of the king with him. Wherever he goes. You see, it's not just about proclaiming words. It's not just like being all radical and marching through the school like, I claim this for Jesus, I claim this for Jesus, I claim this for Jesus, I claim this for Jesus. There's something that couples it, partners with it. And it's about making Him known by the kingdom values that He has. Who He is gets out, it becomes an outflow through you of His person and His values and His characteristics. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Uses us to spread the knowledge of the aroma of Him, the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. I can only explain this scripture through my father-in-law. I like cologne, but not like my father-in-law. I usually try to put a couple squirts on. My father tries to put a couple bottles on. He likes cologne, and when, you know, You ever been around somebody who's like my father-in-law? They walk and it's like the Shekinah glory just follows them. There's this mist, right? It's behind them. It'd be so incredible, because we would be visiting my in-laws, and when my kids were small, and we'd get home and we'd go to give Bailey a hug. And Ainsley would say something like, oh, I can tell that you were with Opa. And he'd look and he said, well, yeah, of course we were with him all day, but no, I don't even need to use my eyes. I can smell him all over you. When he gave you a hug, he rubbed off onto you. When he held you in his arms, his cologne rubbed off onto you. And what Paul is saying is that when we get close to God, that there should be a rubbing off of God in our lives. That wherever we go, you can smell the aroma of God upon you. The people go, oh, you've been with God. You've been with God. I can smell Him on your life. I can smell His grace upon you. I can smell His love upon you. I can smell His kindness upon you. I can smell His mercy upon you. I can smell the charity of God. I can smell the compassion of God upon your lives. Wherever we go, we should be people to be known that have been with God, and we bring His values and His character and His person into the places wherever they may be. Building an altar of dedication means that we make Him known wherever we go. In your neighborhood, the aroma of Jesus would be smelled by your neighbors. In your school, the aroma of Jesus would be smelled as you walk through the hallways. Because you've been with Jesus. When you're at work, the aroma of Jesus would be smelled upon your lives because you've been with Jesus. Wherever we go, we make him known. When I was in grade six, I shared this before, that I had taken a bunch of academic tests and they decided that I was going to be put into an enriched program at another school. I was quite excited because I thought I was going to have some privileges to be with other academically inclined individuals. There would be some teaching methods that would be used with this class, and there'd be a bunch of creativity that would be used that would be foundational for the future of my life. And I was excited about all the prospects, but what I wasn't really thinking through was the fact that the students that I had been hanging out with for so many years would be going to a different school. I'd be with a bunch of students from all over the city that had all taken these tests and had been found to have had an academic leaning. And all my buddies that I had played sports with and that I'd hung out with and spent recess with, they'd be going to another school. And I hadn't waited out, and then the first day of school took place, and I'm at this new school, Dr. S.J. Phillips. I'll never forget the first kid I met who was part of my class, David. David liked garbage picking. And I was just like, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, he's talking to me about garbage. Like, my buddies from grade six, they talk sports. That's my life. You know me well enough. I love sports, and we talk sports, but David talked garbage picking. And David had this ability to talk without opening his mouth. He just, my name is David. And I was like, this is so strange. And then I got to know other people, and they all had different inclinations towards all kinds of different things that I had no interest in. And the first day of school was terrible. It's terrible. I hated it. I hated it so bad. And I went home. My mom's like, how'd it go? I was like, it was awful. She said, you need to give it some time. Day two, got to know some more people. Didn't get any better. I hated it. And after a few days, I was wallowing in my bedroom. My mom knew that I was defeated, and I said to her, I feel like I should just quit the class, go back to regular school, be with the people I used to hang out with. My mom could see I was down and that her encouraging words weren't helping. So she called a couple from our church and she said, hey, would you pray for Jeff? He's really discouraged about the class that he's been in. It's a great opportunity for him. Would you pray for him? And the one guy named Joe, he asked if he could talk to me for a few moments, and so got on the phone, and he's a more mature Christian. He asked me about what I was going through, so I just kind of shared how terrible it was. And he said something to me. He said, Jeff, I know you're thinking that this class is about what you're going to get out of it, but have you ever thought that this might be God's plan to put you there to represent him? Have you ever thought that this has nothing to do with you? That God has put you at this season, in this place, to represent him. And that if you would pray that God would use you in that school, and you would represent him to students who might not have anybody who will point them towards Jesus. And in that moment, despite my frustrations, I had to wrestle with the fact that the land that God had given me wasn't about me. It was about him. It was about him. Then Abraham is told to stand at this place in Hebron and look out the land and everything he's going to see to the north and to the south. He builds an altar because he realizes this isn't about him. This is God's land. This is the place that God wants to make his name famous. And some of you may be frustrated with your neighbors. You may not like the people you work with. And there may be people at school who frustrate the life out of you. That perhaps the places that God's put you have nothing to do with you and everything to do with making him known. Making him known. Whatever I have and wherever I go, I build an altar and dedicate it to God. Would you stand? We've made a commitment in our family services to gather at the front. We often refer this as our altar area because so many times people stepping out of the comfort of their pew, coming forward, is a sacrifice. It's a place of a dedication, and so many times people have come to the front and they made a dedication, I want to serve God, or I've made a dedication, I'm going to apply this message. I want to invite you, this entire congregation, in just a moment to step out to this altar area and to say today, I want to dedicate whatever I have that God's given me and wherever I go to Him. I want to take the things that are treasures, like Pastor Carter said, and I want to dedicate them to God. Whatever they are, as insignificant as they are, I want to dedicate them to God. And I also want to make sure that wherever my feet take me, whether it's to Beersheba or to Jerusalem, that God will be made known and that I'll make a claim for Him. This land belongs to Jesus. And I'm going to invite parents with children to come. Invite those without children to come, that we as a church would say, we are dedicating ourselves to God. We are building an altar of dedication this morning. Whatever I have, wherever I go, it belongs to Jesus. Would you step out as Pastor Steve leads us in this song?
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. 'Cause we need a move. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh! Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, 'cause this is a move. Oh, this is a move. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Yes, we are. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. This is a move. And this is a move. This is a move.
But I want to conclude this service, and I pray that you would walk out of this place with a sense of life, and that every day you'd make an altar of dedication to God, whatever you have, wherever you go, that you would commit it to God. Father, I want to thank you so much for the story of Abraham. It's a story of so many altars. And Lord, we remember the altar at Hebron. It's the altar of dedication. Dedicating whatever we have, whatever you've given us to you. I pray we would use every gifting and every resource to bless your kingdom, Lord. And I pray there would be an altar of dedication as to wherever we go. That this week we would make claims that belong to Jesus. And that God, wherever we go, we will be the aroma of Jesus and make you known in the places we travel. Whether school or work or leisure, whatever it is, let them smell, let the people around us smell Jesus on us. Wherever we go, we dedicate it to you. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon every family. I pray that this would be a great weekend. And for those who may be alone by themselves, I pray they would sense your presence, that they would know you're walking with them and that they are not alone. Bless each person today, and may they leave this place full of life, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bless you, everyone.